minds can explain it properly, I think. Philippians chapter 1, we began to look here last Sunday night. We're going to finish it up tonight. And we began to look at the subject matter, just very simply, one word, together. It's just the word together. Philippians chapter 1, let's read the passage again, verses 27 through 30. The Bible says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Excuse me, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. So we want to fix our attention once again upon that word together. We find in verse number 27, he says that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We mentioned last week, wanted to look at three words. We looked at one of those last week. We'll look at the other two tonight. Last week, we said that we are, first of all, we are to stand together. We are to stand together. He says that in verse number 27. He says that you stand fast in one spirit. And we said that our conversation, if we're going to stand together, in verse number 27, our conversation should shine. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Our conduct, our life, ought to be fitting of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we said our character should be steadfast. He said, whether I come or be absent, our character should be steadfast. And then we said our cooperation should be spirit-filled. And he says there again in verse number 27, he says that you stand fast in one spirit. And so we looked at that last week, and then tonight we want to look at the other two words. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to help, and we'll look at these other two words tonight. Things that we ought to do together as a local body of Christ. Father, so grateful for the day. So grateful for the reminder every single day, but especially today. Father, the reminder of your great goodness to us, your reminder of the gospel, the reminder of the miracle that you have performed in the hearts and lives of many of the individuals seated here tonight. And so, Father, we just want to come tonight and we want to come into your word once again. And Father, I do pray that you'd help us to be honest with it, help us to be clear. And I do pray that you would help us as a people, as a local church, as a local body, that we would stand together, that we would strive together, and Father, that we would suffer together. So Lord, teach us, remind us tonight, probably nothing new for anyone tonight, but Lord, I do pray that you would remind us. Help those who are away from us tonight for whatever reason. We pray that you would help and bless wherever they may be at this very moment, and we'll thank you for what you'll do in our hearts in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So number one, we are to stand together. Number two, also in verse number 27, the Bible says that we are to strive together. We are to strive together. That does not mean that we are to strive against each other. We are to strive together. That word strive there, it means to exert much effort and energy to contend. To exert much effort and energy to contend. I truly believe that in American churches we have lost the stomach to contend. I really believe we have. We are so feminized in our nation, and it has crept into the church, and we've lost our stomach to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, the faith that he talks about in the book of Jude is not just the faith that we have for salvation. It is the body of doctrine that God has given us. It's the body of doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And he says here in verse number 27 that he's telling the church at Philippi, you are to strive together. You are to exert much energy and effort to contend for the faith of the gospel. Now again, we know what the gospel is, we know what faith is, and we know what people need to do with the gospel. They need to put their faith in the gospel. But again, I believe there's a larger context here. He's not just speaking of the gospel, he's speaking of the body of doctrine, of the faith. And he says we're supposed to strive together. So number one, we are to stand together. Number two, we are to strive together. How are we to strive together? Two things. We are to strive with one mind, and we're to strive with one message. We're to strive with one mind. He says in verse number 27, with one mind striving for the faith of the gospel, and then one message, the faith of the gospel. And so we are to strive together with one mind. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible answers itself. Because we might say, well, who gets to decide what mind that is? Well, the Bible tells us what mind that is. It is the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to spend a lot of time here because, Lord willing, whenever we get to chapter number 2, we will develop and elaborate on this even further. But notice, if you would, in chapter number 2, verse number 5, we are to strive together, we're to strive with one mind, and we're to strive with one message. Well, what is that mind? Verse number 5 of chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. Okay. That's good, Pastor, but what is that? Okay, it's the mind of humility. It's the mind of submission. It's the mind of obedience. Look at the passage. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's good. It's the mind of Christ, but what does that mean? He tells us. He tells us in verses 6 through 8. Who? Speaking about Christ. This was his mind. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, notice this, but made himself of no reputation. It's the mind of humility. And took upon him the form of a servant. It's the mind of submission. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. Here we go again. He humbled himself. It's the mind of humility. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So number one, we're to stand together. Number two, we are to strive together. We're to strive with one mind. And we're to strive with one message. One mind is the mind of Christ. A mind of humility. A mind of a servant. And a mind of obedience. We're to stand together. We're to strive together. Number three, we're to suffer together. We are to suffer together. Notice verses 29 and 30. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to do what? Suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. We're to stand together, we're to strive together, and we're to suffer together. Let me give you several things about this word suffer, and we'll be done tonight. Number one, suffering is a gift. Suffering is a gift. Would you take your Bibles, and we'll go to a few places just real quickly, briefly. Would you take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter number 5 tonight? Acts chapter number 5. Suffering is a gift. The Bible says there in Philippians chapter number 1, it says that we are to suffer for his sake. Okay, with that in mind, notice what he says, or what is said, in Acts chapter number 5. In Acts 5, the apostles are beaten. In verse number 40, look there if you would, and the Bible says, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Verse 41, the Bible says, and they departed from the presence of the council. What's the very next word? Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Why were they rejoicing? That they were counted worthy to do what? to suffer shame for His name. Number one, suffering is a gift. Number two, suffering is for our gladness. Suffering is a gift. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew 5. Suffering is a gift. Number two, suffering is for our gladness. Matthew chapter number 5. Look at verses 11 and 12. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He said, if they do it for my sake, because you're living for me and you're preaching and you're teaching, if they do it for my sake, it's okay. Now, if they do it because you're not doing right, that's a different story. But he said, if it's for my sake, it's okay. Notice verse number 12. Rejoice and be what? Exceeding glad. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So number one, suffering is a gift. We don't think that, do we? Man, the suffering comes, we don't, ooh, great gift. I enjoy that gift. Well, we don't think that, but that's what the Bible says. That when we suffer for His sake, it's a gift. Number two, suffering is for our gladness. Remember, the apostles said, look, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Him. Suffering is for our gladness. Number three, and maybe most importantly, suffering is for God's glory. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, if you'd go there quickly. Suffering is a gift. Number two, suffering is for our gladness. Number three, suffering is for God's glory. 1 Peter chapter number 2, notice verse number 19. By the way, it kind of deals with what we mentioned over there in Matthew 5. If we're doing it for Christ's sake, that's good. If we're doing it, if persecution comes of our own making, well, that's our fault. There's no rejoicing in that. Notice what he says, 1 Peter 2, verses 19 and 20. He says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief," what's the next word? "Suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Go to the next chapter, chapter 3, 1 Peter 3, verse number 14. The Bible says, "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." Remember, it's for our gladness. "Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Now one more, chapter number 4, and look at verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter 4, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him do what? Glorify God on this behalf." So number one, suffering is a gift. Secondly, suffering is for our gladness. Thirdly, suffering is for God's glory. Let me give you two more if I could. Number four, suffering is an indication of godliness. Take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now again, it's not always an indication, because sometimes we suffer because of our own fault. We've already seen that. But notice what the Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? Suffer persecution." So suffering is a gift. We don't think that naturally. That's why we need the grace of God to understand that and to be able to suffer together. We can only do that with the grace of God. Suffering is for our gladness. Suffering is for God's glory. Suffering is an indication of godliness. And then number five, take your Bibles and go back with me to 1 Peter, if you would, 1 Peter 5. Number five, suffering is endured by grace. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But, okay, now verse number 9, what's he talking about? He's talking about afflictions. Whom resist steadfast, fast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all what? Grace. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Suffering is a gift. We don't think that naturally. But supernaturally and with the grace of God, we understand when we suffer for Christ, it's a gift. Suffering is for our gladness. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Most importantly, suffering is for God's glory. If we will do it properly and biblically, God will get the glory. Number four, suffering is an indication of godliness. And number five, suffering is endured by grace. Take your Bibles and go back to Philippians 1, and we're done. Philippians chapter number 1. I want you to notice verse number 28. I don't want to just skip over. He says in verse 27 that we're to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Notice verse number 28, and he says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. He said, look, we have adversaries. We're to strive with one mind. We're to strive with one message, the faith of the gospel. But we have adversaries who fight, right? He says, don't be fearful and nothing terrified by your adversaries. He said, because if you do, he says, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. He said, don't be terrified by the enemies. Don't be terrified by the adversaries. Strive together. Stand in one mind. The persecution may come. The suffering may come. But don't be terrified by that. He says in verse number 29, for unto you it is given. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but also to suffer, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now hear to be in me. He said, you're going to suffer the same thing. The things you hear about me, Paul says, you're going to suffer the same. He said, don't let the adversaries terrify you. Don't let the adversaries almost as if have a one up on you. No. You're going to suffer. But you do it together. You have to strive. You do it together. You have to stand. You do it together. We're to stand together. We're to strive together to exert much effort and energy to contend. That's the idea of the word strive there in Philippians 1:27, to exert much effort and much energy to contend. We are to strive together, and then we are to suffer together. With God's help, may Maranatha Baptist Church do that. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Father, I do pray tonight that you'd help us to stand together, to strive together, and to suffer together. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight, that, Lord, you've dealt in their heart, whether it was this morning or even tonight. Father, I pray that in the quietness of this moment, Father, we will do business with you tonight. Father, I pray that if there'd be one here tonight, that as we get ready to go to the Lord's table, that would say, you know, I have some things in my heart that aren't right. I'm not right. My fellowship with my Savior is not right. Lord, I pray that we would take this opportunity, not in a haphazard way, but with a genuine heart. And Lord, we would get things right with you tonight. Father, help us not to partake unworthily tonight. Help us to do business with you if that would be necessary. Lord, if there be one here tonight without Christ, Lord, I pray that they would come. Father, these are eternal issues, and they require great importance. And Lord, I pray that we would not take the matter of eternity and salvation lightly. And Lord, if there would be one here that has any doubts about where they'll spend eternity, I pray that tonight they would seal and settle that. And we'll thank you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you if you're physically able to stand with me tonight. Miss Pam's at the piano with heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to give us an opportunity tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to come. But also, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, if there would be one here tonight, you know you're saved and you know you're baptized and you know that you normally partake of the Lord's table, but you know in your heart there's some things that are amiss between you and God, I pray that you take this opportunity to get some things right with Him tonight. Hopefully everybody's hopefully and prayerfully, everyone's in great fellowship with their Savior tonight. That would be the desire. But if not, right now is the perfect opportunity to deal with sin in your heart. Right now is the great opportunity to deal with something that might be amiss between you and your Savior. You know, we talked about together tonight. We talk about it and we speak about it in light of the local New Testament church because that is the context in Philippians 1. However, might be a husband and wife here tonight that aren't completely together on things tonight. Might be a parent and a child tonight that's not completely together on things tonight. And maybe you take this opportunity to get things together. Maybe take the opportunity to ask for forgiveness, to settle an issue with a parent or a child or a husband or a wife. Amen. I'll ask you to be seated tonight, and I'll ask the men to go ahead and come. And I'm going to ask if Jeremiah and Jack, if y'all wouldn't mind sliding down a little bit, that would be wonderful.